Thank you very much. It's absolutely brilliant to come and talk to you today. And sorry for everybody who's on the Freedom in Christ course, because you will have heard me talk a lot in the last 6 weeks. So my apologies, I'm here again. But it's so nice to be here. I want to talk about the whole of the chapter of John 17. It's a part of the Bible where Jesus prays, and the whole chapter is given over to his prayer. And it's a really amazing piece of scripture. And as I was praying about it, and I just really felt that was the right piece to bring in, I was thinking that God would take me through kind of quite a deep theological explanation of really what was going on then, and about Jesus as the Son of God. But actually, as I was then preparing it, I kept coming back to this issue of change and handling change and how we change and what we do when that happens and how God moves in us and how we react and what it feels like. And actually, I just felt God kept saying, just listen to what I'm saying and stop trying to write your own sermon. So I feel like, genuinely, I feel like what I'm bringing you today is what God has asked me to bring you. So, and I kind of going to gloss over some really big things in the scriptures because of that, but go back to it, read it, meditate on it, do your own study, and God will speak to you about all the other things that are in this amazing prayer. So, change. Change is here to stay. There's these great phrases, isn't there, that people know, and one of them is, change is here to stay. Nobody seems to know who said that, but it's a very good sort of truism, isn't it? Nothing remains constant except change itself. Do you know that one? And that's how it feels like, isn't it? Life is like that. It feels like every time you get used to something, the next thing happens. So some bloke said this, when you are through changing, you are through. And that's very true, isn't it? We're just changing all the time. And somebody amazing said this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think that was God. That's my favourite one. Change is it's a phenomena that happens all the time in all of us, and yet often it's something that we find really difficult. So how do you feel about change? Do you feel really positive about change? Do you feel like, yeah, change is a natural part of life? It's a bit like the whole butterfly caterpillar thing. It starts, it goes through an amazing process. It can be quite strange, but actually at the end, something brilliant comes out of it. And we feel like, yeah, that was something that was really good and purposeful and has brought goodness into my life. Or does it feel more like that when something changes? You feel you've just gone into free fall and it's scary and it's unpredictable and it's unknown. And actually what could happen at the end of this is so out of control, it could be something much worse than where I started. For all of us, change elicits different reactions, doesn't it? Sometimes we have good experiences of change, sometimes not so good. And for all of us, we'll sit somewhere on what I call a change spectrum. So you'll be someone who sits either on the far end of this where you don't like change, or you'll sit on the other end of change where you do like it. You'll be somewhere in between, but actually when you go through a period of a quite intense change, you'll move towards one or the other. So if you like change, you'll be somebody, if you don't like change, you'll be somebody you like predictability, you like stability, you like to plan and evaluate and properly resource things. Actually, change is quite scary in a way because you're grounded, you're reliable, you're knowledgeable, and actually when change comes, it's, oh, okay, that's going to upset things. I don't know that I'm okay with this. I'm ready with this. I don't know how to plan for this if I don't fully know everything that's going to come. So you might be on that end. You might be the other end. You might be somebody who loves change, and you think, yeah, I love spontaneity, I love experience and adventure, and I love the adrenaline. The feeling of adrenaline just really does it for me, and I love risk-taking, and I'm adaptable and flexible. And you know, for those sort of people, when change comes, it can be really exhilarating and exciting. So where are you on that spectrum of change? And where do you naturally tend towards when things are happening that you're not necessarily in control of? We're going to look at what Jesus does in a minute. But before we read on to that, I want to just sort of talk about life. Life always changes, okay? There's a progressive nature to change all the time. We get older, life around us changes, politics change, governments change. My goodness, the last 2 years has just been insane, hasn't it, in the way politics has changed around the world. And it's starting now here as well. So change happens all the time. It's a constant feature, but it's also a constant feature of our personal walk with God. So everything in our walk with God will always be changing. There is no sort of static or stagnation element to this because God is dynamic. God moves us on. And actually, things are always changing. The sanctifying process of the Spirit at work in us is something that we're always in. John 17, the whole of John 17 is about an amazing change in Jesus' life. So this prayer is the pivotal point between what he has been doing and what is about to come, between his life with the disciples and the days leading up to his death and resurrection. It is that middle bit where everything is changing. His life the previous 3 years has been with the disciples. He's been teaching and preaching about God as a father, as a loving, close, intimate, amazing father. This was revolutionary. He was teaching about mercy and grace and forgiveness and sin and eternity. He was bringing in all the New Testament teachings. He was so controversial in his teachings and his actions that there was a price on his head. He caused a commotion wherever he went. He had the audacity to heal the sick on a Sabbath. It was outrageous what he was doing. He loved those who'd been rejected. He honoured those who were considered untouchable. He did miracles wherever he went. He taught that he himself was the bread of life. He prophesied his own death and his own resurrection after 3 days. And he confronted all the religious hypocrisy of the day. He had had an amazing 3 years of ministry. Everything was about to change. He knew in this prayer he was talking through what was to come. He knew he was soon going to be arrested and crucified. He was beginning his final days of ministry on earth. He was preparing his disciples for the next phase because he knew their world was about to change forever. At first, that change was going to seem desperate for them. And he knew that. He knew that they were going to be desperate, hopeless, unimaginably desperate for what had been to still be there. They wanted that back. He knew it was going to seem like everything had gone wrong. He knew he was going to be arrested, tried, crucified, and buried. So he knew everything was about to change. He also knew he was going to go on to rise again, take his rightful place in heaven, appear to the disciples, and commission the early church into life. So we see this chapter as being very much in the middle of those two massive phases in his life, but also actually in world history. It changed everything. So Jesus has been preparing his disciples for change. And you might recognise some of this if you feel like maybe you're going through or about to go through quite significant changes in your own life. He washed their feet. So in the preceding chapters, it's very relational. If you read the first sort of three or four chapters just before this, he washes their feet. We have a relational, servant-hearted God, and he's very loving. He knows when we need to be close to him. He knows that we need to feel very reassured. He demonstrated his sacrificial heart towards them while he was doing this, but he also warned them that he was about to be betrayed, denied, and handed over to death. He gave them a knowledge of what was to come. They weren't just blind. They weren't just floundering in this, although it felt very scary, and actually what he was saying they didn't want to hear. But he gave them knowledge because knowledge is important. He also comforted them. He knew they were going to have their world rocked. They needed to know that he was with them. So he comforted them. He taught them about the power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Massively, massively key teachings on this. And actually, again, that was something that was so critical in the life of the early church and continues to be critical in our lives, isn't it? So he taught them about that. And above all, he reassured them that all of this was in the Father's will. So coming up to this point where everything was about to change, one of the key things he kept doing was saying to them, this is in my Father's will. Everything that's about to happen is going to have such an amazing impact. And of course, the disciples had no idea, absolutely no idea what he was talking about. And even when we read it, it's hard, isn't it, to believe that they could have gone from being that place they had with him, that relationship they had with him, through the death on the cross, through the resurrection, and into the early church. I mean, it is just life-changing stuff, isn't it? It must have been a really strange time for them, those disciples, as they were hearing what God was saying or hearing what Jesus was saying and knowing that something big was coming but really not being able to get a grip on what he was talking about. So what about you? I will come to the scripture in a minute. What about you? Maybe you're sensing that you're in between two seasons in your life. Maybe you feel like you're in between two phases or that God is transitioning you now and you're in that sort of that horrible kind of crunch bit in between where you're like you're not what you were but you're not yet become who you're going to be or that phase hasn't quite completed yet. Maybe that's happened a lot in your life and you're like, all right, here we go again. Here's another one. Maybe that's not happened before and this is really unusual and unfamiliar and weird. Maybe you're in the bit before it happens and you don't want things to change, but you know it's coming. Or perhaps you're in it already and it's disorienting or even scary. Or maybe you're on the other end of that spectrum and you actually love change and you're in it and you're eager for more. And actually, it's exciting seeing what God births into you. Some changes are really nice, some are horrible. If you have a job promotion, that's redundant, that can be horrible. It happens, doesn't it? Both things happen. Get the nice changes. The truth is, things always do change. So even when life plods, I'm a bit of a plodder. I like things just plodding along in a very nice, predictable way. And I just get my stuff done and I get to the end of the week and I get to the end of the month and the end of the year and I'm like, yes, it's fine, everything's fine, we're okay, we're good. Even in that, and I don't get an awful lot of that, but I like it when it is like that. Even in that, things are changing, aren't they? Other people are changing, I'm changing. Things change because of me or despite me. How we respond matters. It's happening all the time, and God is a dynamic Father. He moves things on. So how about you? Are you leaving school this year, or retiring, or maybe God's asking you to move a job, or a house, or even country? I'm really praying I don't want to leave country. I'm not a mover. Perhaps you have a new baby, or you're leading something new, and God is asking you to step out in something. For all of you, there will be things that God is asking of you. And discipleship always equals change. It's normal for there to be change. It's normal for things to be moving on. Don't settle for habits or character traits or lifestyle choices that don't honour God. Romans 12:2, which is the one I quoted earlier, be transformed by the renewing of your minds and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect. We are designed to change. We are designed to be transformed. So how do we ready ourselves for what God is asking of us? And how do we stay engaged with everything that he's asking of us? Well, this is where we get to looking at what Jesus did. So, John 17, if you've got your Bibles, feel free to read it, but it is all on the screen as well. So, Jesus looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they knew with certainty that I came from you. And they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. They are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, more than I am of the world. But my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. As you are in me, okay. Verses 1-5. Oh. Let's finish the prayer. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be the one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know that you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make them known in order that the love for you that you have for me may be in them and that I may be in them. That was the whole prayer. My apologies. Okay, verses 1 to 5. So Jesus starts, actually, with what is unchanging. Okay, so when we're going through change, it's always good to look at what Jesus did. Jesus started with what is unchanging. He knew who he was. He knew the bigger picture. He knew he had done what had been asked of him. He was confident in his relationship with God the Father, confident in his status before God, and clear on his mission. That's an amazing place to start, isn't it? And it's humility. So he says, I've done what you've asked me to do. I know who you are. I know who I am. Now go ahead of me and make this work. There's a great humility and confidence properly placed in God because it gives us the strength to do what needs to get done despite how things look. So when we know who we are and who God is and what he's called us to, we can just get on and work through the change. You need to be sure of what doesn't change and anchor yourself there. For all of us, that is where we can really do change well, is anchoring ourselves in the things that don't change. We need to understand what is truly secure, because when our security is embedded in what is eternally secure, then we can properly handle change and transition. So we anchor ourselves into something that is unchangeable and unmovable, and then everything else that is happening is something we can get on. So what doesn't change? Well, the bigger picture is one of the things. Jesus knew that he was living for the bigger picture. For him, it was the eternal salvation of mankind. That was his mission. That was why he was here. And actually, as a context, we live in that context, don't we? His physical circumstances were about to look very different. The cross was about to look like the ultimate defeat. So in human terms, when he died on the cross, he knew it would look like it had all gone wrong. He knew that's how it would appear. But he also knew that his authority to give eternal life was about to be demonstrated by the single most amazing event that's ever occurred on earth. Death and resurrection of the Son of God, the saving of all mankind. He knew the bigger picture. It didn't matter so much what it looked like. It didn't matter so much that the transition and the change looked fairly desperate. Actually, he knew there was a much bigger thing being achieved. He didn't focus on circumstances and what people would think of him. He didn't focus on how weak and ineffectual he would look. A leader that gets killed doesn't actually look like a great leader. He would look very weak. He would look like it had all gone wrong. That's not what he focused on. Focused on the bigger picture. He knew that he was serving his Father, fulfilling his mission, and that this mission would change the world. We need to do the same. We need to anchor ourselves on the bigger picture. When God moves us through transition and change from one phase or state to another, we need to hold on to the fact that we are part of something big and amazing. It's not just about the thing that's changing in life. It's about something much bigger. God is at work in us, through us. And God is preparing you for eternity. That's my bigger picture. We're being prepared for an eternity with God. And it's not just us. It's a whole load more people too, and that's what we're a part of. That's what this is about. He is building his church, and we're a part of that. But we're just passing through this world and into what we've been called into, we've been designed for. We're part of the salvation, the forgiveness, the redemption. We're part of building that eternity with Christ. We're part of it. So whatever is changing, let's keep our eyes on the bigger picture. Our story is developed within God's big story. Another thing that doesn't change is our identity. Jesus knew exactly who he was, absolutely unequivocally. He never, ever looked to another source to find out who he was. Verse 1, he states this, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Verse 24, you loved me before the creation of the world. And verse 5, now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Exactly who he was. And we have the same. So our identity, well, it's a weird thing, isn't it, identity? If you look at it on a purely worldly sense, identity is many things. It's our name, as our nationality. It's our profession or our skill set. It's who we're married to, maybe, or our roles, our appearance even. But all those things change, don't they, over time, good ways and bad ways. All of these things have changed for me except my nationality. That's the only thing that I haven't changed in that list, and there's still time. My kids are grown up now. I've got one of 20 and one of 18. One's left, one's almost left, he's as good as left. So I'm changing. For most of my adult life, I've been a mum. That's been my primary role, and I've loved it. I've got two brilliant children, and I've been really blessed. So actually, I know it's not always the case that mums love what they do, but actually I did. I love being a mum. I had a very positive experience. But that's gone now in the way that it was. So who am I? Who am I now? And I'm in that process of working out, well, now they don't need me. What does that make me? So recently, I've made people laugh a little bit. I've taken up cello, Italian, Pilates, and got a new job in the last about 6 months. And one of my bosses, I've got three jobs. I have so many issues. But I've got three jobs. One of my bosses did say to me, are you actually having a midlife crisis? Is this what this is? And I don't think so. But there's something weird, isn't there, about change that you know it's inevitable, but still you're trying to work out. I'm trying to work out what I do with my time. Is that my identity? And I'm rubbish at most of the things I've just said, so thankfully it's not my identity. My identity is who I am in Christ. That's my identity. That's what I anchor into. I look like Jesus did. I look at who God says I am. So my character has changed, my skills, my life experience, even my identity in a sort of the transient ways, you know, my name and so on. But actually, my identity in Christ hasn't changed. I'm the same today as I was when I became a Christian, which was 26 years ago. Nothing has changed. The day I got saved, I was loved, accepted, capable, strong, valued, ambitious, anointed, because it's in Christ. Done. So are you. So your identity is not the same as your personality. And your personality will be this or that. You might love change, and you might hate change, and you might love bananas, and you might... whatever, that's your personality. But your identity in Christ never changes. You are a son and a daughter of the King, and that's a fact. And that's another place we need to anchor ourselves when things change. What else? God's love. Hooray! God's love never changes. And we sang about this earlier, didn't we? God's love endures forever. And I know that's just a phrase that's in the Bible, but it's also a phrase that's in the Bible, which means it's true. Okay? We sing it and it can become so familiar, but God's love never, ever changes. It is absolutely constant. It's the single biggest motivation in everything God does, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the beginning of your life to when you get to eternity. Love is his single most biggest motivation. And it's why Jesus died. And it's what this prayer that Jesus prayed is all about. In verse 23, Jesus says this to the Father, you have loved them even as you have loved me. You've loved them the same as you have loved me. What that means. We need to be sure of God's unchanging love for us, because stuff changes around us. And sometimes it's very unpleasant changes that happen around us in our lives. But actually, God's love never changes. So how has God loved us? Well, in verse 23, it's in the same way he's loved Jesus. From the beginning. So from the beginning, God has loved you. And with total unguarded intensity. We will never experience in this world a love like it. Because we can't. We're all a bit wonky. We don't. But with God, it's pure. It's amazing. It's totally unguarded, intense love. Relational and warm and open. That's what he was like with Jesus. That's what he's like with us. A desire for closeness. Verse 22 says this, that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus is inviting us into that union. We are a part of that. That is how God has loved us. And with the unity of mission. Verse 21 says, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. We're in it with him. We have a unity of mission with God. And that's what it means to be loved by him. He invests his name in us in the same way he did with Jesus. There's no difference. He puts his name in us. We're in this with him. God's love for us means we are caught up in his mission. We have purpose and significance and impact. When he changes things in our lives, it's because there is something big happening, and it is because he loves us. What we do makes a difference. when we prepare for transition and growth, we must understand the unchanging nature of God's amazing love for us. God's protection. We have God's protection all the time, and that never changes either. And again, we can anchor ourselves in that, because sometimes when we go through things that are changing, especially when they're things we don't want, we can feel very vulnerable. And actually, we do get hurt sometimes. It happens. We get hurt. God's protection is there. Jesus prayed for protection. He knew there were going to be very hard times ahead for him and for the disciples, and then for us to come and generations to come. But his love for you means he will protect you. He will be there for you. Sometimes we get judged or criticized, don't we, by other people. Sometimes the enemy feeds us accusatory thoughts. We feel like a failure, or we feel inadequate, or we've missed something important, or everybody's laughing at us, or whatever the thing is, whatever the drip feed is. And we can feel very low with that. Sometimes we see circumstances getting difficult. We see that people we love are struggling, and we start to doubt, and we feel a bit lost, and God, do you really love me? Is this really you? Are you in this? Where are you? Those questions come. God knows that these things hurt us, and he knows that we need protection. And we just need to engage with the protection by praying, by being with God, by walking with God, by depending on him, by knowing the truth, by letting him look after us. As we go through transition, we live according to his word and his purposes. Three times Jesus talked about protection. So he knows we need it. He knows we're fragile and we're precious, and we can't just do this on our own. We're not designed that way. Anchor yourself with the knowledge that God is your protector. There's lots and lots of stuff in the Old Testament about this, in Psalms particularly. One of my favorites is Psalm 91, where it says, "My God is my fortress and my refuge, my God in whom I trust." A fortress and a refuge is very protective, but also a place of strength where you can do battle. And I love that God calls himself his fortress, and himself our fortress and our refuge, because we need. And finally, God's power. God's power never changes. It is both unchanging and unstoppable. That's pretty much all I need to say on that one. But that is basically it. God's power is amazing. And somebody I think was praying earlier about having the power of God, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is what work in us. It was that scripture, wasn't it, that they were quoting in their prayer. And it's so true. That is what we have. That is the access we have. Absolute. It's non-negotiable. We have access to it. So again, that was achieved in Christ. God has the power to succeed, to protect, to empower, and to deliver the right outcome. Jesus knew that through all the changes about to occur, God's power would overrule all evil. That everything had a reason, a purpose, and an impact, and it would succeed. And the same is true for us. So whatever it is, whatever God is asking of you, whether it's something that is just kind of predictable and you knew it was going to come and you think it's probably going to be all right, or whether it's something massive and it's broadsiding you and you really don't know what to do with it and where God is, and even how to articulate a prayer, actually, God is in this. God is with you. There is a reason. There is a purpose. There will be something that comes out of this that you do not yet know. That it will succeed. We can have the same confidence because God's purposes will always prevail. Sometimes really horrible stuff happens, and sometimes really evil stuff happens. But even then, God's purposes will prevail. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, not a single person ever, anywhere at that time, would have said this was a victory. It looked like evil had won, but God was preparing to show his power and to set mankind free once and for all. What God does. He's not swayed by how things look or how people think or talk. Do what he's doing, and he'll do it amazingly in your life. So even in our darkest days, God will bring a rescue. It's what he does, and it's what he has always done. God is an amazing rescuer. Sometimes it's quite quick, and you can see the miracle right in front of you. Sometimes it's much slower. Sometimes the rescue will take months or years. But actually, as you walk through it, you know, because you're bringing a rescue. It's changing the thing. He takes us through things for a reason. It's never without meaning. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've felt in my own life when God has taken me through things. I've prayed, God, if there is no point to this, you have to stop doing it. Okay, it hurts and I don't like it. But actually, he's always come back with, this is what this is about. And actually, it's always borne fruit. And some things have taken years and years and years to bear fruit. They have. Other things have happened quickly. But it's always been meaningful. And that's what I see in the scriptures. That's not just my personal testimony. I see that in the scriptures. When God does something, he does it for a reason. God is powerful. We can pray with certainty and confidence as we walk with him through change, that he will impact us and others for good, and that we and they will experience God because of it. And that's part of being part of the bigger picture, isn't it? So when we go through stuff and sometimes it's kind of hard work and sometimes things are not quite going according to the great plan we had, actually other people are watching that. Other people are seeing how we're praying, how we're working that through in our faith, whether we're still a Christian at the end of it. And sometimes it's a bit touch and go, isn't it, how you feel about God through these things. But actually, just being honest, just walking with God and then seeing him do the thing and then telling people what you've seen him do. An amazing testimony to God's love. So when we go through stuff, we can pray that God will impact us. Whether we feel like it is, like the butterfly, where we're like, yes, I can see that God is doing a really good thing and I'm really in faith for this and that's good. Or whether we feel like I am in free fall and I do not know how I'm going to land. And when I land, I don't know if I'm going to survive, but I still trust God. Because God is my all in all. Wherever we're at, that is our testimony. If Jesus had not anchored himself in the things that were unchanging, if in that prayer he just wobbled and hadn't gone through with it, what would have happened? If he'd seen the bigger picture, if he'd not seen the bigger picture, if he'd not held on to his identity or God's love or God's power, if he'd been unsure of his mission or of what it would achieve, if he'd been just scared and not wanted to go through with it, if he'd focused on circumstances or public opinion or the praise of man, what would he have concluded? That's hypothetical. He's God. So he knew. He knew all these things. He's never going to not do it. But actually, he had access to the truth. He held on to the truth. He knew who he was. He held on to God's love, God's power, God's mission. He held on to who he was and what this was all about. We have the same access to the same truth. It's not any different. He was fully man. He chose to hold on to the truth. We have the same opportunities, the same strength, the same access to the same truth. So when we go through stuff, we choose what to hold on to. We choose where to anchor ourselves. We need to do what Jesus did and anchor ourselves in the truth to sustain us through it. And so much about handling change well is who we trust. Do we trust all the opinions, or do we trust all our own insecurities, or do we trust the person in control? God is in control and we can completely trust him. Completely, utterly, at all times and in all things, and especially when you're in free fall. And I speak from experience. When you're in free fall, you can trust God. Anchoring ourselves to what doesn't change gives us the freedom to enjoy or engage with what does change. So if your transition or change you're going through is a difficult one, then you have the freedom to accept and receive God's total love, his kindness, his approval of you, his acceptance of you. Enjoy it. Draw near to it. Make that your strength. We have his companionship and his equipping. You're not alone. You're not out of control. He's in control. You might be in a free fall feeling, but actually you are not. Your life is not in free fall. God is in control. We can be free from condemnation and free not to worry about the outcome. And that's one of the hardest things, isn't it? It's not worrying and not trying to grab onto something, anything, just to hold still on something. But actually we can rest in the Father's love. If it's an exciting period of change, that's also brilliant. You have the freedom to enjoy the exhilaration of something happening and knowing that it is good, that God is in there. You don't need to rely on the good outcome in order to feel good about yourself. You can enjoy it anyway. You can take the risk and soar into the season and enjoy the adventure. Whatever it is, and I really feel this is what God is saying, I hope that's come across. Whatever is happening, you can trust God. Okay? And it's not about what it looks like or feels like even. The truth is there are unchanging things. You can never change or you can anchor. So I would love just to pray as we finish, if the musicians play. Let's just, as the musicians start playing, I just want to ask you some questions, and I want you just perhaps just close your eyes and just think for yourself. As I've been talking, there might be things that you're thinking, yep, I get that, I'm in that place, or you might think, no, and I don't ever want to be, or, yep, God, bring it on. Okay, what is God taking you through? What is he asking of you? What do you need to talk to him about this week? Maybe there's something even to repent of, I don't know. Maybe something God is asking you to change is something you don't want to let go of, but you know you need to. Maybe a change of behaviour, or maybe a change of thinking to be more in line with believing what God says about you is true. Maybe it's a change of lifestyle. Maybe what you want is power and protection through a transition period. Maybe what God really wants to give you is that very thing. Maybe it's about deepening your dependence on him, anchoring yourself more fully in your identity as a securely loved, accepted, and equipped child of God. Maybe it's a decision that you are just going to soar into the adventure. You are just going to let it all go. Going to let him be in charge and you're going to run with him, keeping your identity properly secured in Christ and really just enjoying the ride. I'm just going to pray for all of us actually, and then we'll just have a time of worship just to really for you to do business with God on this. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that we are securely loved, totally accepted, and thoroughly equipped children of God. I thank you that this love and acceptance and equipping is a finished work of Christ and was true the first day we believed. Lord, I thank you that you are for us. I thank you that you work all things for good. All things for good. Father God, as we face the things ahead of us, we choose to believe that you are with us. We choose to believe that you are protecting and empowering us. We choose to believe, Lord, that you will bless us, that you will impact us for good, that you will impact others around us for good. Lord, draw near to us when we need comfort. Anoint us when we need strength and glorify your name in our lives. Lord, we choose to believe that there is an eternal significance to the things you do in our lives, and we love being a part of your story on earth. Thank you that you are our refuge and our fortress, our God in whom we trust. In Jesus' name, amen.